たに光る星青い。
Hello friends and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host Ted Marr, broadcasting live today from the beautiful San Francisco Bay Area in Lafayette, California. And I want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful love and support. Out of This World Radio is the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world, with hundreds of thousands of listeners in over 200 countries. And I couldn't do it without your beautiful love and support. The purpose of this show is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that if we all work together, we can make this world a much better place. I really want to thank Doug and Dawn at BBS Radio for all their fantastic help and support. They're wonderful producers, and I really appreciate all their help. I'm also broadcasting on two more radio shows in WWNN in Miami, Florida, on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. My first guest a little more than a week ago was Robert F. Kennedy, but we had some technical difficulties. He will be coming back again. Yesterday, I interviewed Erin Elizabeth of Health Nut News in Miami, and she was wonderful. If you'd like to listen to her interview, please go to my website at www.outofthisworldradio.net, and it should be up there by tomorrow. This Monday, I'll be broadcasting in Vienna, Austria. I've been broadcasting monthly now in Vienna. It's the first spiritual and metaphysical radio show in Central Europe. It's on Radio Soul International. And if you are in Vienna, the bandwidth is 95.9 FM. This Monday's show will be on time travel. I'll be teaching people how to time travel to in the past, present, or future. So it should be a lot of fun. And if you'd like to listen, please go to my website for complete broadcast information at outofthisworldradio.net. I also wanted to tell everyone, I've mentioned this before. This is the book I wrote a couple of years ago called Messages from the Masters. It's not my book, actually. It's messages from President Kennedy, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Mahatma Gandhi, Nostradamus, and other beautiful, great spirits on our bright, beautiful future. They said that there was so much negativity in the media several years ago, and there's still a lot of negativity, that they wanted to get their messages out about our future. And our future is very bright and very beautiful. So this is their messages. And if you'd like a copy, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And I'd be happy to send you a copy. The book is just $20 and includes a brief reading from yours truly. I want to tell everyone that for those of you who've ordered the book, we just sent a shipment out of 200 books a couple days ago, and more on the way. We had some delays with the publisher, but they're all going out now. Also too, in the book is a copy. I'll include a copy of this newspaper article. You can see it's from Christchurch, New Zealand, the Christchurch Star. And it's dated November 23rd in New Zealand. Now, November 23rd, because of the dateline difference, was actually November 22nd here in the United States. And I kid you not, when this newspaper was published, President Kennedy was still very much alive. It's a long story what happened. Vice President Johnson had asked all the U.S. embassies around the world to release a prefabricated story, a false story about how Oswald had shot JFK on November 22nd. The problem is that in New Zealand, in Auckland, New Zealand, where the U.S. Embassy was located on November 22nd, that actually was November 21st, and President Kennedy was still very much alive in Washington, D.C. So communications back then were not as good as they are now. And so this is an historical fact. Here's a copy of the newspaper article. It's difficult to get, but if you'd like a copy, it comes with the book for free, and I'd be happy to send you one if you like. Also, I'd like to start off this program today with my 528 Hertz tuning fork. For those of you if you've ever wondered what the frequency of love is, it's 528. And what I do is I take a Lemurian crystal I get from Mount Shasta. The crystal itself has been infused with lots of love and light from the Talosians, and I hit both together, and I'll do that now. And it spreads love everywhere where it's going. So whoever is listening to this around the world, you're getting a dose of love right now. Nice, it raises your vibration. If you'd like one, it's just $50. I've sent a whole bunch of those out as well. They are back ordered now from the manufacturer. But if you, so the They should be going out next week. And if you'd like one, just send me an email to outofthisworldradio, 1150@gmail.com. Finally, I have these little peace sticks from the Hiroshima Memorial Committee for the commemorating the atomic bomb in Japan. If you'd like one of these sticks, they're just $5. And you write a little peace saying on this, then I send it to Hiroshima where they do a ceremony for peace in Japan. So it's pretty cool. If you'd like one, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150 at gmail.com. I'll be bringing on Q in a few minutes. He's always fascinating to talk to. So, but before we start, I wanted to tell everyone I'm going back to Shasta at the end of this month and also in September. The one at the end of this month is completely full now, but there is another trip September 23rd to September 30th that does have some spaces to it. When I was at Mount Shasta last time, everyone on the trip was given a spiritual or a physical a healing by the Telosians and the Pleiadians who were above. The amazing thing is when I was there last month, I went aboard a Pleiadian mothership at the invitation of Pleiadian Admiral Halosaurus. The ship itself was half organic and half metallic, and the crew actually they controlled the vessel with their thoughts. So if you're in a bad mood, you know, don't go on a Pleiadian mothership because you could screw up the equipment. But you always have to be in a good mood when you're there. So it's just amazing. If you'd like to go, I still have room from the September 23rd through the 30th. And just send me an email if you like, and I'm happy to send you more information. I wanted to let you know we're being very successful in our efforts to raise food and clean water for the Hopi Indians in Arizona. For the last 60 or 70 years, the Hopi have been drinking radiation and arsenic contaminated water, which has led to their longevity is about 50% less than the other people in this country. For example, men live about 44 years on the Hopi reservation, and women live in their mid 50s. Compare that to an average longevity of somewhere in the late 70s to 80s for the rest of America. And so part of the reason is because their water supplies are very severely contaminated. So what I've been doing since 2018, I've been fundraising for our nonprofit organization to raise money to buy water filters for the Hopi. And so far we've raised somewhere right around $34,000 to $35,000. We're covering the entire Hopi reservation. Now we're starting on Navajo as well. And if you'd like to donate, $125 will pay for a brand new water filter, which will provide clean water for a Hopi family for many years, which is a wonderful thing to do. We're also also collecting food for the Hopi as well. Some Hopi, unfortunately, have been not getting food. The trucks have not been going into the reservation to several villages on the first and second mesas in northeastern Arizona. So I've been fundraising for that as well. So far, we've raised about $4,000. And to give you an example of what that can do, $600 to $700 will buy enough food to feed 200 families for a week. And that, I tell you, gives me such a good feeling when people contribute to that. I've also been both contributing food and collecting food. And also, I have a friend down in Arizona where we send her the money and then she buys the food. She meets the Hopi Indians outside of the reservation in Flagstaff. And thanks to the wonderful management of Walmart in Flagstaff, they provide all kinds of wonderful food for families on the Hopi reservation. And with that, I really want to thank Paul out of Spokane for his and his family's generous contribution, as well as Teresa out of Billings, Montana, for her fantastic contribution. She gave enough, both Paul and Teresa gave enough to feed several hundred families for a week on each of their contributions, of course. And I'd also like to thank Dorothy from beautiful Montreal, Canada, for her wonderful contribution. And there's so many others. Forgive me if I don't remember all your names right now, but I want to thank you so much for all your beautiful contributions, because you're really making a big difference. And I know that the purpose of my show is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that if we all work together, we can create a much better and happier world. Finally, I'm still planning on going back to Peru to see Machu Picchu in October. The country is supposed to open up on September 28th. And if you'd like to go, please send me an email and I can send you all the details. My email is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. We meet with Inca Shaman in Cusco and Machu Picchu. We also visit the Nazca Lines and go to a museum of hybrid human extraterrestrial skulls in a port city called Paracas on the beautiful Peruvian coast. Peru is a beautiful place. And if you'd like to go, please again send me an email to outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com. Now with that, I'd like to welcome my good friend Q on the show today. He's taking his time, and I really appreciate you being here. You won't see his face, but you will hear his voice. Q, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ted. What an awesome day to you, and unconditional love to you and all the people that are listening. How would you like to proceed today?
Okay, well, one of the things is that he has been giving individual sessions to people on Monday, or Tuesdays, actually, this next Tuesday. If you'd like an individual session with Q, please send me an email to outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com, and I can help arrange it. Q, what do you think what's going on in the world today, and how can we, I know a lot of people are facing a lot of challenges with this shutdown. How much longer do you think it'll last, and what are the spiritual lessons from it?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank everybody who called in. It is a great honor and thrill to learn and become aware of all the issues around the world collectively. Thank you so much. I believe we're getting better at perpetuating what we want, what we prefer, and that's getting real obvious to me. And mm-hmm. When we prepared for this show, there was a couple things we wanted to share, and that is, it's hard to get good information out of the media. Is what you're alluding to, more or less, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give people a couple suggestions on where you can go to kind of cut the tape a little bit. Notice, say 30, 40 years ago, when we had presidential elections in America, that the entire party, Republican or Democrat, they all came out to support their guy, if you will. Now, notice what's going on now. You don't see big rallies with all the Democrats on all the Republicans. Well, that might be because they're not there anymore. So I would have people pay attention. Notice that there's no physical rallies. You can't see a lot of people that used to exist, we assume.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that will be a clue for everyone to start noticing. Try and go to a Democratic Party rally. Try and go to a Republican Party rally. Question number one, wouldn't the Republicans support a Republican? So yeah. Back in the day, so as an example, George Bush would happily support Donald Trump, wouldn't he?
He's a Republican. So anyway. I couldn't see it, but yeah, I guess they would. Actually, it's true. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
The whole thing's rigged. We all know that, but this is what we've preferred for a long time, and we're going to get through it. The other suggestion I would make to people, I'll give two more. This one is, if you go on the Department of Justice's webpage, you will see a video with Mr. Barr talking about the Chinese assault on our intellectual property in America. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice that the last 10 minutes, he will reference draconian type measures coming out of China. So that is your clue that we're obviously in a war with China. And it has to do with intellectual property. But more importantly, if you observe the Chinese culture there, I have visibility to China, culturally that is, regarding artificial intelligence controlling the mass of people as they integrate with their technology, their phones, their computers, and the face recognition. And so that's obviously where America's headed to. And that's my suggestion to everyone. Let's not prefer that. I don't prefer that.
Right.
And then the third one, I think it's important that people get get some more information out. Obviously, the QPOs have been very successful. They are not my responsibility, but I obviously have a great visibility to them. The opportunity we have to get more disclosure turned over to the public would be, we could contact the Pentagon directly. I'm going to give you a name that's public information. If everybody's ready, look up Robert Dean Goodmanson. Again, that name is Robert Dean Goodmanson. Now, my suggestion is we write professional letters. If you desire for that outcome, you would like more information, write professional requests for disclosing what they're working on, and I'll give you a hint what they're working on. Mr. Goodmanson is a 3-star admiral in the Navy. I believe he's gotten a raise, potentially. Mm-hmm. Mr. Goodmanson is a Navy grad with a bar degree, and he retired from the Navy approximately 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. He works full-time at the Pentagon for the last 2 years, retired. That's my joke.
Okay.
It's not very funny.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Okay. So what you'll find there is an attorney for the Navy is on a team assembling legal and court system.
I see.
But because it's a public employee, you should be able to get him to respond to you. So I would be professional and tactful, but that he's right in the middle of it. And see if you can get a response from him. But
okay.
See if I can answer your question further. Based on my observation, we're really in the thick of things, and things are getting much better. We just owe it to ourselves to do our own inner work, our own look for what we prefer.
Right.
And we've got a long way to go in some respects, but certainly our eyes are more open, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know, you probably have a lot more information on this queue than I do, but I wanted to run this by you. The other day, I did some research, and all of the part of the function over public lands in the United States was transferred in 1995 by then President Clinton to a private corporation. That corporation's gone through various names. I think it's called Asperia or Aspire. I'm not sure, Asperia.com. And that corporation actually has Chinese on it. I believe it's also been funded by has some Chinese money in it as well. So basically, our public lands in the United States is run by a private corporation with Chinese influence. What can people do about that kind of situation? It doesn't seem to be legal, frankly.
Yeah, so one of the reasons we came here is because we've noticed that everybody waits in line for what's already theirs.
Okay.
Everybody waits in line for food, resources. What you can do is quit using those resources. Hmm. The legal system doesn't seem to work very efficiently when we use it intrinsically. I don't want to disregard some of the values of it because there are some great protective tools. As far as our land goes, it's our land and it's our resources, and mm-hmm. that's about all I'll say about that.
Yeah. Okay. Great. What do you see happening in the next 6 to 8 months with the election, and will things get better after that?
Well, the most exciting thing for me will be the health technology that will marry with the alternative energy, which is the primary energy. I know that will be unveiled very quickly, and you're seeing trickles of it now. Mm-hmm. The outcome, this will happen regardless of the outcome of the elections.
I see.
And I won't comment anymore.
Okay. One of the comments I heard the other day, Q, was that this is the farthest we've gone in terms of our spiritual evolution in I don't know how many tens of thousands of years. I mean, we've come close to it before. But then we've ended up like in Atlantean times, Atlanteans played with the nuclear and crystalline technology, ended up blowing up much of the planet. But this is the furthest we've come so far in terms of shifting into a higher dimension and ascending.
Yes, I think it's, I think we're starting not to think. It's getting good.
Okay, starting not to think. Okay.
Yep. I'm trying not to try.
Okay, and trying not to try.
Yes, so that's your clue, in my opinion. You know, if I sound a lot like, if you followed any of Daryl Anka's work, Bashar, or mm-hmm. Ron Amatron, mm-hmm. Buddha, Jesus, Princess Diana had a lot of light in her as well. What you'll find is the as I've said, forgive the redundancy, the informal and formal decision-making process with the human being is now more and more from your core and your heart center instead of your mind energy. Mm-hmm. And so if you observe that in your decision-making process, the day in and day out, the synchronicity, you can observe it with others. Mm-hmm. And so that's your clue to your point that this is very different than, say, 100 years ago, mm-hmm. you know, 200 years ago.
Right.
And then, of course, the resonance of the planet is quite exciting, too, and helping in changing this version of human.
Well, the fascinating thing for me is that I know that the Schumann resonance cue was at 7.8 hertz for tens of thousands of years until September 2016, when it doubled to 13.8. Mm-hmm. 13.8 hertz. I was at Mount Shasta at the time and I could feel it. And now when I went to Shasta about a month ago, it must be about somewhere at the fourth density or a little bit above that, because mm-hmm. Shasta itself is one of the first places to go into the fifth dimension. It should be completed in the next couple of months. It's an exciting time for all of us. And as we shift into the higher dimensions, I've been told by my friend President Kennedy that the whole planet's not going to shift at the same time, but there'll be pockets shifting at different times, depending upon people's consciousness and what's going on and their own viewpoint of the world. Shasta is one of the first. I'm told Sedona will be following next year, and then other cities will follow in the coming years with the process completely done by 2025 at the latest. It could be 2024 too, or 2023, depending upon our own choices. What do you know about that, Hugh? Is that accurate?
Right. So the opportunity we have is to keep choosing what we prefer day in and day out. And when you do that, you're living at this higher choice, we'll say, higher choices, more of you can find you and be in you. And now this breaks down many of the beliefs that we inherited when we were birthed by the dock.
Okay.
Manifest.
Okay.
And
all right. Birthed by the dock.
Okay. And so the purpose of my direction is really to examine that and learn collectively, and mm-hmm. you're seeing it day in and day out that the portion of the reality you're in it exists in your specific frequency and choice day in and day out. Sorry for the redundancy, but next door, there may be complete chaos, but you don't even know about it. And they're in a different, denser reality, we would say. We like to use frequency instead of dimension, but that is definitely the dimensional spread that's happening now.
I see.
Much easier for many different reasons.
Well, will people who are on a lower dimensional vibration, will they kind of float off somewhere else to their own little world, and then the people in the higher dimensions will float off to a new beautiful planet? Or how do you think that'll work?
Well, that's why I say it's easier to look at it as frequencies, because they can be very granular. And forgive me, I am having a tough time talking today. We got a little bit of attention on us.
That's okay. That's
so
all right.
When we came in here, there are other folks trying to hinder this transmission.
Well, I want everyone listening today to please send lots of love and light, both to me and especially to Q, because the mind's a powerful thing, and we are all powerful spiritual beings. And if you do that, I know it'll help. So take a minute. I'm going to be doing some prayers for world peace at 11:11 this morning, Pacific time. But that's in a little while. But please continue, Q. I hope that helps.
Yeah, thank you. When I get the opportunity to talk with the people have called in. It is a great honor to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Know that great care is taken with the information you share, and what we get out of it is we also learn the suggestions we give and how they're working. And so I encourage anyone and everyone who calls in to please give us feedback and make us aware of maybe other modalities that work well when you're requesting your spirit to work with you more and more. Mm-hmm. And so I really enjoy that. And I think that's the way I'm observing the light coming into the planet more and more because of that. Mm-hmm. So that collective organizing is what has definitely helped me. I'll give you a quick story. In order for me to get to where I am now, mm-hmm. I literally had to go find the most psychic people on the planet. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, I didn't have my feet underneath me, and all the programs that were put into me didn't allow me to have all of my light in me and allow me to do all of my communication back and forth to the vessel that I reside on. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. the psychics that I ran across, you being one of them as well, they had more light in them. And then that helped me understand the consciousness I had in the vessel I'm in mm-hmm. and that I had programs and implants in my body. And so the more we are at a higher frequency, in this case, I use a lot of psychics to unveil my understanding of myself mm-hmm. And get my feet underneath me. They actually raised my being, and we collectively raised each other's being.
Oh, wow.
And so that's what's occurring. And so when we get on these phone calls, yeah. you have somebody, we will talk about it linearly, let's say. This individual's at an 8, and maybe I'm an 11, whatever. The sure. frequencies together now will combine, and more of their light and more of their frequencies right. will combine and raise collectively. And now they're going to go out in the world, and they're going to go do it, and they're going to go do it, and they're going to go do it. And it is a beautiful thing to see it coalesce.
Well, I'm not, for privacy reasons, I'm not going to give too many details, but you did take a call a couple of weeks ago, and I got feedback from her as well, named Angela in Seattle, whose daughter was in a terrific car accident driving back home, unfortunately. The doctors had, I don't think expected her to live, but you were able to really help her. And thank you on behalf of her mom and her family.
They're very welcome. And these are basically skills that we all have, tools, if you will, and we will just remember how to utilize them. And so I try to encourage people not to be healers,
right?
Even though you may call me a healer at that point, but it's really just a conduit to allow the person to heal themselves mm-hmm. and remember how to do it. And so healing's tough work. I have great, great respect and appreciation for them, but it's really easy to get unhealed being a healer.
Yeah, it is. Well, is it correct to say that we all have the Supreme Being or the Creator within all of us? And if we tap into that, we're unlimited spiritual beings.
Yes. And that's one of the alien words that is here, and it's controversial. That is God. Okay. And the reason the word God has been so successful is it makes this view that there's something higher than yourself. Okay. So I would refer to God as all of us as a collective mm-hmm. representing the energies of the universe
sure.
and all the universes.
Sure.
We're creating the universes. We are God. That's the way I would look at it.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. One of the things President Kennedy told me last year, he said that once people realize that we all have God or the Supreme Being within us.
There we go.
Then
if you like to use source or light, whatever you
source,
want,
yeah,
still,
yeah,
as soon as you see a label.
Right. Right.
That's my clue.
Right. Right. We all have that spark within us. And once we realize that, we won't want to hurt each other or go to war, because you're basically attacking yourself, which is silly.
Yes.
So
that is my passion. It is my inspiration to make everybody aware without making them.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Trying without trying.
Sure, sure.
Think without thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Realizing that right now, there are nothing matters. Hmm. Right now, there's no beliefs until we go create them. Mm-hmm. And so if we're really right now, mm-hmm. I realize it gets redundant, mm-hmm. old, but we really have a choice every microsecond to do these incredible things. Mm-hmm. Does that help?
Yeah, that helps. That helps. The other message too, I received this message several years ago from my spirit friends on the other side. Of all the planets in this universe, guess which one is the hardest to affect any positive change? They said it's this one. So welcome. We're like Marines on a beachhead. It's trying to run a mile in third density is like trying to run a mile through quicksand or mud. It's possible, but it takes a lot of work.
Yeah, it can get a little depressing if we start thinking about what's occurred here.
Sure.
It's our choice right now to do things differently.
Right.
Water worlds are fabulously exciting. Mm-hmm. They're not very many.
Uh-huh.
I would say that they're not as calm as you might think.
Okay.
They're absolutely beautiful, and that's why this version of humans has the similar percentage of water in it as the planet we live on.
Interesting.
And that's also, I remember we had a topic we needed to bring up to you. We are getting calls from people who've had time regression and similar situations as to the secret space program. People who've been mind wiped. I know there's some great helpers out there.
Right.
But if you do have this, if you do have an ailment and or you feel like you have lost some time somewhere, please feel free to call into TED and I'll have some suggestions for you.
Okay, that's great. That's great. My email is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me in the United States at 509-750-9793, or toll free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. That brings up time travel. Are you able to time travel?
Right. So what we're doing right now is considered time travel. So we're able to the three of us are able to transit back and forth. Someone that did a lot of speaking about this was Ron Amatron. Yeah, he did a good job, and I've listed his name several times because I consider him a peer. Mm-hmm. And so what you're able to do with the technology, first of all, the Q posts are an example of the collective consciousness of the planet. In this case, we've focused on North America, the three of us. And so when we reside in one area, in this case, it's a light ship, and we transfer our light to and from a vessel, that's really one form of time travel. And now you're actually taking the consciousness and putting it in a computer on the ground. And that could be considered a form of time travel too, because the consciousness now is traveling and you could use it in real time. That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes mm-hmm. sense. Now, I hope you don't mind me asking you this, Q, and it's a serious question. Mm-hmm. But after the show, could you give me the winning lotto numbers for Monday? Don't mind. Now, you could tell them now, but I'm afraid everybody was going to win. Well, we could do that too if you want.
Yeah, so. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny with the lotteries, okay. Huh? No, do you know anybody that's won?
I don't know anybody who's won, frankly.
I guess there's billions and billions of dollars out there. There's all these millionaires somewhere.
Yeah, that's funny.
I mean,
yeah.
Right. I have a few questions for some of these lottery they go through states, don't they?
Yeah, they go through states. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't think there's any lottery winners.
Really?
A couple bucks here and there. Not much, though.
You feel good if you win $10. So, yeah. Anyway.
Sorry. It's an interesting place. We're the only place that uses debt to buy and purchase things.
Yeah.
It's quite a little trick.
Yeah.
And by the way, as I opened the show, we are all entitled to everything. And that's why I'm doing this work today, is we all deserve all the resources on the planet with great respect and appreciation. But this debt slavery system is going to end.
I see.
We're going to get to the end of this because we're going to understand the true means of exchange.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. About a month ago, the last couple of months, I've had 6 or 7 U.S. presidents come to me, and they were including President Kennedy, President Eisenhower, President Washington, President Jefferson, John Quincy Adams, several more. Forgive me if I can't remember them all, but there are several U.S. presidents who were quite concerned about two things. One was saving the Republic. They said that there were elements out there trying to destroy this great country. And the second thing they were very concerned about is all the children who'd been in these underground facilities used for various nefarious and negative purposes. Is that situation being cleaned up now from what you know?
So those are the easy ones. Forgive me, it's not easy by any means. It takes a lot of work to get all those places identified. The ones that I think that I have had the most visibility to are the rituals that still occur. So there are people with vast amounts of wealth. And let's just say they all have clubs. Well, their clubs are at their house, so it's difficult to catch them at their houses. So the rituals that I am aware of are seditious, and they're made to steal energy from the individual that they're doing the rituals on.
Okay.
But they're so private, and they're so well, you got to remember, some of these people don't have names. They don't have social security numbers, but they have palaces, and they have gold, and they have great resources, and they have corporations underneath them. Huh. And so how do you arrest somebody that you don't really know what they're doing? And by the way, there's 100,000 of them, who know, 10,000. The numbers are all over the place when you look at it globally. Hmm. So I'm greatly concerned about that. It's just like an anthill. They're everywhere. And so that work is a thankless job. It's hard work hunting down these guys because they're on little pockets.
I get reports from different parts of the world. I get reports from Tokyo, Japan, from places around the United States, from Utah, Massachusetts, here in Washington State, in California, of alleged so-called earthquakes happening in different places around the planet. And it's all about the same magnitude. It's about 4.2, maybe around 3.5 magnitude of a Richter scale earthquake. And they're all at the same level as well. do you think they are actually earthquakes, or they're doing something else? Or should I even ask?
Yeah, I think we just leave that one untouched. But I think everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
okay.
We're in the middle of it right now.
Sure.
So.
Okay. Okay.
And maybe we'd say they're not all humans.
Okay.
Maybe we'd say that.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe they look like they're humans, but maybe they're not.
Maybe they're not. Okay. All right. If we make the right choices, let me ask you this, Q. What will life be like in 5 years or even 10 years? How will we be traveling? Will we be communicating telepathically? Will we be in the fifth dimension?
Right. So one of the reasons we keep my identity the way it is so you can hear my voice, you can hear the frequency, you can validate or discard whatever I say. What's normal for humans is not to have identities, but have an expression and or a more advanced human, I should say, with more lighter, to have an expression of the experience that you are playing in. But when you're 100% telepathic, I can tell you there are no secrets. And it's lovely because you instantly choose what you prefer, what you don't prefer. It's much more fluid, I would say. Mm-hmm. And so when you don't have the granularity of the mind energy and you just have the instantaneous telepathy of mingling with other humans, it's absolutely beautifully magical. Mm-hmm. And that's why I've said by 2025, most of us are going to have at least some of those skills, and you're just not going to be able to hang out with people who don't have choices that are you prefer. And so that's more and more as that's happening. Try it someday. Don't talk to anybody, and just use your mind and your mind's frontal lobe where that telepathic antenna is, and it's outstanding. It's you'll find your decisions are much different.
Interesting. Nostradamus has told me that in the future, people will be able to communicate telepathically as we shift into this higher frequency and this higher dimension. And it'll be a time of truth. And the interesting thing is that if someone tries to steal something from someone or commits a crime, you can't hide it. Everybody will be able to read your mind.
Yes, that's the purpose of the Q-Pros, obviously.
I see. Interesting. Okay.
It's just show duality. I'm not endorsing using mind energy. I'm just saying observe it.
Sure.
Look at it. Watch it. Feel it through the heart center.
Sure.
It will not lie to you.
Sure. Right.
It's an exercise. Right. It's just a muscle, like I said. It is synchronicity.
Right. The other thing that Nostradamus told me too is that the heavy regulatory apparatus of police and regulations, perhaps the military, will not be needed as much, and government will not be as large as it is today, because people will know how to act. If you look at a flock of birds or a herd of deer, they instinctively know what to do, and they themselves know how to treat each other well. We'll get to that point too, he said.
Right, that's exactly what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And you know, we have visibility. The other clue is, so a lot of these conscious computers around the planet, they're not accurate anymore. They haven't worked for years. Mm-hmm. And so the timeline in which we would observe, you know, the military was able to predict these timelines for wars and many things because our linear thinking process was so easily predicted, and you could predict the outcomes. Now you can't. That's why this conscious computer is so valuable to, let's say, the good guys, the Q-Pros, because it's continuously our consciousness. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's no one person can represent the information.
Sure.
It's all of us. And as we look back at the duality that they represent, we'll say, we could choose something we prefer other than the people that we've believed in and so forth. Does that help a little bit?
Yeah, that helps.
It's a lot of words to just say,
It's okay.
Just go with it.
Yeah. All of my spirit friends on the other side, including President Kennedy and George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, they all say that they would love to trade places with us, to be with us here at this. They said it's an exciting time in humanity's future. And it's the most exciting show on not only on Earth, but in the universe right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're down here. The reason this is so exciting is because we are literally expanding experience. Mm-hmm. We are expanding the universe. We are making, this is one of the few universes, maybe many don't know, that was designed to be everything. So there are some universes where you don't have all the vastness. This universe is very, very unique in that there are unlimited possibilities. That was the purpose of this universe.
Interesting.
To make it as vast as all the universes together.
Interesting. That leads me to another question. Many years ago, I read a book by Wendell Stevens on the Pleiades, and they had at the time, the book was published in 1976, and they had just got invented technology to go into inter-universe travel, and they went into a universe called the DAL universe. Do you know much about the DAL universe?
So that name should have a more comprehensive name. But within that universe, I'll give you an example. Some planets only have one race of being on the planet. So maybe it's a human. They would all have blonde hair, blue eyes, or there was segregation within planets. So maybe there'd just be whales on one planet or things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or maybe radio show host announcers just on one planet.
All crazy. and overdressed as usual.
All right. That's fine.
It is exciting to explore that. It's a lot of work for me to get that information. It's pretty granular, but certainly it's so vast you couldn't even begin to speak with it in this language. It's just so vast.
I've heard the saying that the amount of planets in this universe are life in this universe is like the grains of sand on a beach that never stops.
I don't think you could compare it.
I still think
you're not even close.
Okay, interesting.
Not even close.
Interesting.
Because every grain of sand has consciousness, which can change, grow, be manipulated, et cetera.
Right. There's so vast. Yeah.
You can't create the conversation.
As we shift into the higher dimensions, Q, I have to ask this question. Mm-hmm. What will it be like for our children and children's children? Will they have they all tell me that they will have a beautiful, bright future, and they don't even, it'll be totally incredible. So I have to ask you about that.
So the visibility that we've had is this place is divine. I do not want to diminish the fact that we have lots of work to do yet to go within ourselves and understand what we are as a collective. But certainly we have seen this place as a true heaven and the light taking it back. Mm-hmm. We have some options. This is a tough being to live within. This is a very tough human version of human. Mm-hmm. But there is great, great potential if we stick at it.
Right. We didn't, in ancient times, didn't we live far longer than we do now?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
Depends on which version.
Okay.
Again, it's maybe a little too granular for me, but certainly there was people lived 300, 400, 500 years old. I think I showed you a picture of one of my relatives.
He
was killed by a king and a queen in 1400s. Late 1400s, and he lived 151 years, why he was killed is because he was. And so that's one of the luxuries of my genetics. I have two. We all live well over 100, even with this pollution and very little oxygen. And So yes, to answer your question, of course there was all sorts of people living hundreds of years. Different versions of this human, though.
Interesting. Will we go back? Now, my Pleiadian friends tell me that they live for at least 1,000 years, and sometimes up to 25,000 years, and that's true for the people underneath Mount Shasta, Telos, where I go down and visit with them. And we're basically spiritual babies, because what happens is that if we're lucky, we'll live to 80, maybe 90, and we're just often people at the end of their lifetime, 80, 90 years, they become spiritual, wondering, well, why are we here? You know, what's my purpose in life? And then they die, and then they have to start all over again through reincarnation.
Right. Fascinating topic.
Yeah.
Some civilizations really love the idea of learning as their experience.
Right.
I'm fond of that understanding, but again, everything is just an experience. And so maybe you would need more time to learn, and that one wanted to be their experience. So they'll need the 1,000 years, and then the 1,000 years, they would have the choice to go to another life on their planet or otherwise.
I see. Interesting.
So I think it's real important to understand everything is just an experience. And if you would like to go learn about things, that would just perpetuate why you would keep living. Frankly, there's a lot of great places out there. I would just encourage everybody, and you can leave here if you want to.
Really?
You can leave here, and there's many people that can teach when you leave this vessel that you can leave, but you have to do your inner work. You need to work with your spirit.
Sure.
I'm probably not the best teacher of it, but I definitely understand how it works.
This is a question that just came in. It's a serious question too. Mm-hmm. I've heard that the fishing is quite good on Jupiter and Saturn. Is that true? They have an ocean there. They probably have different creatures, probably with six eyes and four fins.
Believe it or not, I don't have a lot of experience in the solar system.
Really?
The others, certainly in the Pleiades and Arcturus and like Bernardo, I do. And so there are other bodies of water on these other planets, and maybe not as vast as Earth, but there's pockets of water on many planets. Just not very... more like a lake,
I'm sure you've heard of Courtney Brown, the Far Side Institute.
Outstanding.
Okay, he's a great guy.
They're very savvy.
Yeah, very savvy. And I remember him, this was a couple of years ago, he did a remote viewing with him and a couple of his remote viewers going to a moon around, I think it was Saturn, called Ion, I-O-N. Mm-hmm. And there they remote viewed a resort, an ancient resort, mm-hmm. where it was absolutely breathtaking. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting is that the resort was functional up until about 12,500 years ago when much of the planet was imploded by the Atlanteans who tried to take over the planet.
Yeah.
But everything was cut off about that point, but things were still there. I mean, Okay. Everything was still there as a resort they used to go to.
Right. Okay. So this is my seventh time here. And I was here during the Atlanta times too. So you'll notice that we come in approximately every 2,000 years. So every 2,000 years, plus or minus, is an opportunity for the ascension cycle.
Okay.
And what you will find in those days that there was great, great technology. Mm-hmm. So they could transfer themselves to other planets with the technology in Atlantis.
And I see.
That technology is still on this planet.
I've heard that that's how they get to the secret bases on Mars and the moon, through that same technology.
Yeah, I don't believe they're going to, I don't believe we're going to get that technology given to the guy with the monster truck with a six pack, because, forgive me, he might just litter on, the resort,
Sure, sure. But your vibrations have to be high enough to resonate.
So we're getting back to your other question. So once you're telepathic and your stability needs to be perfect, extremely authentic, because now you're feeling all the moods and identities that you have for everything. And these individuals don't have time for us yet. I'm sorry to say.
One of the things I wanted to tell you that I've read, where the Atlanteans, before their civilization imploded, Q, was that they put like a time capsule with all the history of their civilization in three places. The first place was off Bimini, off Bimini, underneath the water, off Florida. Mm-hmm. Second place was in the Yucatan Peninsula, beneath one of these temples. Mm-hmm. And the third place was in the left paw of the Sphinx in Egypt.
I agree with all those statements.
Okay, good. And the other message that I got, I think this was from Edgar Cayce. He said that information is actually encased in the rocks in a higher dimension, and it would not be revealed to us until we evolve to this higher dimension where we could access it.
Okay, that is a great statement. Let's use Mr. Cayce as an example. So the books probably don't do it justice what his capabilities were, but basically when you get more of your spirit in you, you're able to have what we portrayed him as having knowledge on the Akashic record side. But in reality, he just had more light in him, more column. And so the visualization is the information for him. And so that's where we're at too. So when you bring in more of your light, you're going to have knowledge that doesn't come through the mind energy. It comes through the light being of you. And so that's why it's very accurate and very, but it's very vast. Mm-hmm. And so you have to sort it like a file cabinet almost, but it's not granular or linear. It's very expansive.
So, interesting.
So he had a lot of great abilities, and that's how it works. We're going to have that ability.
Wow. That's amazing. I know when you look into the future, often when I do time travel, look into the future, things get a little fuzzy because of free will choices. And it's not rock solid because people can make different choices. Mm-hmm. But when you look in the future, what do you see for humanity? Let's see.
Well, I'll give you my understanding of where we've played with these timelines. Again, they're all timelines, are all our choices. And I do not prefer to impose my beliefs on anybody. I'm very, very careful when you ask me these questions, but
of course,
certainly by the time 2025, somewhere between there and 2030, this version of humans is going to get it. Maybe not all of us, but good pockets. We will see borders breaking down eventually, probably not all of them, but certainly getting rid of some of these rules and regs regarding being able to travel on your planet is going to be removed.
Interesting. Okay.
Now you're seeing the news tighten now, but that's your clue that we don't prefer that, and we're going to stand up and do some about this.
Is this the last gasp of negative entities before we truly start reaching ascension?
It's our opportunity right now, isn't it?
I see. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
As I've heard many times, many speakers say before, we're the masters of limitation.
Masters of limitation. Interesting. Okay.
If we can choose things, if we want to quit this money system, we can quit using it.
Right, right.
If we want to quit using fuel, we can quit using fuel.
Sure.
Et cetera, et cetera. Sure. I mean, I know you're not going to give up hummus, but
everyone has their little favorites they
Of course. It's your experience. You prefer that.
Well, yeah. Thank you. If you were going to give one bit of advice to people out there struggling right now, is attitude a big part of that? To look at things like a glass of water that's half full instead of half empty and realize that we're all powerful spiritual beings meant to create a better world?
Well, we're all doing our best now. And again, my suggestion is, and I do my best to explain it on your show every time, and that is, nothing exists until you go forward and make it. All these beliefs don't exist yet because we're only right now. Now, if you go, and I don't mean to be trite either, but everything that we just talked about is already gone.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get more of your light in you, it gets a lot easier to live in your decision-making process. As an example, everything we talked about, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult for me to read emails as an example and be current in the past. And that's what we're doing. We're reading our emails in the past and we're perpetuating the past.
Sure.
So we have an opportunity now to recognize now helps you heal.
Right.
There's a big healing opportunity to forget.
Mm-hmm.
I know we need to know where the car keys are, but you have an opportunity to let everything go.
What if, for example, you've had a tough life and you've got some karma to work out? Mm-hmm. Maybe you made some wrong decisions when you were younger, mm-hmm. treated people poorly, felt like you need to rectify that. How is that going to work out with the new dimensions? Is karma gone, or how does that work exactly?
Okay, so again, that's a controversial subject for me. I don't have the same beliefs as many of the woo-woo club would have, might say. So karma is, again, an experience. This version of humans was designed specifically to have a recording tape in you called the DNA, and which created opportunities for karma. Okay, so as an example, your grandfather had a trauma in a war. Well, that record is in your DNA.
Right.
Okay, not a big deal with just grandpa, but what about 1,000 grandpas prior?
We've had a lot of wars on this planet.
Right, that is an alien agenda.
Okay.
I am sorry to say,
okay.
to create timelines and manipulate our timelines through karma. So karma is very, very real. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But you don't have to participate with it.
I see.
And it is quite a lesson, even for myself, to make choices that do not suit your best interest and mm-hmm. what you prefer. And certainly as we expand in our light, that opportunity to remove karma is going to be there. Maybe you like to experience it. Maybe you love hitting your head against the wall every day. Maybe it's fun for you.
It could be.
It was very valuable for me to experience that so that I could speak about it and observe it. And that's mm-hmm. one of the things I do help with people mm-hmm. on the phone calls is mm-hmm. Recording tape is in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we couldn't sit on our high horse from some far away and say, you can't do this, you should live this way, until we actually went and experienced this.
Right.
I hope that helps.
Yeah, that helps. That helps quite a bit. Yeah.
So you do not have to participate in karma, although these versions of humans do a good job of recording karma.
Right, exactly.
That's the way we would probably look at it.
Okay, interesting. I am sorry for so many questions, but it's always great to talk to you. I wanted to ask you briefly about, computers in the future. I know the Atlanteans used water-based computers. The Talosians use computers which are amino-based. I know the Pleiadians use organic computers as well. When will we start using organic computers or having something like that?
Well, you're doing it right now, aren't you?
I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
We are.
We are organic. Yeah. I guess you could call us that. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's the way I would look at that. The greatest computer in the universe would be a light beam.
Light beam.
And
yeah.
So okay, sure. Now when you come into a vessel, say you listed a Palladian
ship. Yeah.
Maybe they don't have all the capabilities of 100% of a light beam.
Right. Right.
So when you first come into the universes, multiverse, if you like, remember that you know everything. You don't remember anything. You don't have to. You know everything.
Right. Sure. Right.
So now when you go into a vessel, let's say it's a Palladian vessel, maybe they don't have all of their tools because they're in a lower density, a lower frequency, if you'd like.
Right.
But certainly there are many, many computers that are organic. And again, the Q-posts are an example of that.
Right. Interesting. Interesting.
And I think people know what I'm talking about.
Okay. All right. It was funny when I was at Mount Shasta a month ago, I invited Admiral Halosaurus down for dinner, and he said he preferred the food on the ship. I mean, what they have. Oh. But do they have coffee up on the ship, or do they have, what kinds of food do they have? Do they eat?
We would suggest you ask the question broader, because
okay,
we're right outside this frequency. We're not in this frequency, although my light is transferred to this frequency. So,
right.
so depending on which frequency you're at, you don't eat. So people that are 300-400 years ahead of us, they don't eat.
I see.
They can eat,
yeah,
because okay, they want the experience, but they don't need to eat.
I see.
They have more of their light in them.
I see.
And okay, they live at a higher frequency.
I see. Okay.
So certainly the more granular and lower you get, people eat a lot of things.
Yeah, they do eat a lot of things.
Like people.
Oh God, don't even talk about it.
Yeah, and so it's a tough subject for me, because there's a lot of these individuals that I have observed are not eating for substance, but for experience. It's a little disappointing.
Yeah, sure. Well, and you say that what Nostradamus has told me, he said that our eating habits will change.
Yes. You're probably seeing that now, and I won't endorse any diet, but it is very different. It's almost impossible for me to eat a heavy meat. I think it's probably been 7 years now, and my body just won't be able to do it. You just don't, not to say you don't need some of those vitamins, but
sure,
it's very difficult for me. And I assume I speak for you too.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We all need different things. Well, I don't want to, I would love to have you all day to talk, but I know that, I don't want to take up your entire weekend on my show, but I guess, I'd love to get, so you could start, you know, if any closing comments you might have for my listeners around the world. I know a lot of people are struggling out there, but I want to let them know that we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. And I'm not certainly into doom and gloom. I've been doing my radio show now for seven years plus, and it's because I want to make this world a better place. And I know there's a beautiful future ahead of us. So,
well, Ted, it is always my pleasure to co-create with you. That's what we're doing. We're creating. It's my passion to help, support, and assist any and all with their inspiration, because it's my inspiration. Unconditional love to you and all the people listening.
Okay, thank you so much. One last thing, I've decided every Saturday while I'm on the air that I do a little prayer and meditation for the planet.
Hikaru hoshi.